You're all very welcome to this week's edition of the Cannabis Patient Podcast with your BAFTA award winning nominated host, Kenny Toynan here. Coming up in this week's show, I'm going to answer a few of your questions. I put out a post on Instagram basically asking people to ask me anything, and I got a few responses, and there's a few good points that were brought up, so I'm going to see if I can give my best take on it anyway and give my opinion on your questions. I'm going to give you a bit of an update on myself first. As you all know, I underwent treatment for a regrowth in my tumour in the brain, and I went through 6 weeks of radiotherapy and 6 months of chemotherapy, and I was waiting on my 3 month scan after I finished up. You know, I had a scan when I finished up initially, and that came back and said it was stable. When I asked him what was the idea of this treatment, you know, was it to stop the regrowth, or was it to get rid of it, or, you know, and this is the best we can hope for is that it'll keep it stable. So, you know, if I got that news, I would have been happy enough. Because, like, worst case scenario, I could have like a couple of months to live, like, you know. So I would say, you know, like, if I got bad news there the other day, I would be in hospital within a couple of months, I would say. I'd say I'd be dead within 6 months if it was to come back aggressively. And it wouldn't be a nice way to go. So I was hoping for a bit of stability, and I was feeling good about it, but at the same time, you know, you're always waiting on bad news. Like, you know, as positive as you try to be, you know, like, I always go, like, you know, I've learned to deal with things by crossing the bridge when I get to it, or burning that bridge when I get to it, as the Skin Size Kings said in their song. So I took it up neatly and put it into a finance section of my subconscious until the time comes to deal with it, and that's when I deal with it, basically. I just call all my strength at the time, and I know that if I face the fear head on, that it will certainly give me a lesson, if not win. So it's like a game of chess, you know. You can never lose in a game of chess. You always, you know, you either win or learn. So that's the way I'm kind of treating my mental health at the minute, like, you know. So when I got the news of the results the other day, I was hoping for stability, you know, to come back to me and say, you know, everything is stable. You know, that would, for me to be, that would say to me, yeah, I've at least another 6 months to a year, you know, I'd be happy out with that, if not more, you know. It says, we've good news here. It's working. Your tumor has reduced in size. And I says, sorry, repeat that again, you know, because the signal is fucking shit out here. So it is. And I was outside, and he repeated it for me, and I just burst out crying. You know, it was just fucking amazing news, like, you know, to get, like, you know. Like, not in my wildest dreams, you know, I always had hope. I always had hope, a tiny bit of hope, you know. But, like, I'd accepted that I'm terminal, you know. And, you know, that's why I fucking live every day like it's my last. And as I was crying, my son's principal was out next door, and he saw me crying. And I was on the phone, so I couldn't even talk to him, and I just went inside. So apologies, Mr. Murray, if you're listening to this. I was just, I was so overwhelmed that I had to just come in and tell the family. And Willie, who co-produces this podcast, you know, he's kind of the unofficial co-producer. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of him now. He was with me up at a major smoke-up that time in the Phoenix Park. Yeah, he was there in the house as well at the time when I got the news, and Jesus, the celebrations that he had, it was amazing. It was absolutely the best news I could ever get. I'm still in shock, as you can probably hear. Fuck, it's a huge amount to take in, like, you know. My head wasn't right for a few days afterwards, but did that way. Yeah, big time. But in other news, there was in the last podcast, you probably heard us speaking about the Cork cannabis protest. And I was due to speak at it. It was the day it was the day that the fucking, after the Laois and Offaly lockdown, and Kildare lockdown happened. So things were up in hip as it was around this area. We're very close to Offaly. You know, we would have been. So to cut a long story short, you know, fucking too long, didn't read. I ended up missing the train. But there was the turnout was amazing, and you know, for Cork especially, like, you know, Dublin is a big enough place, like, you know, so, but and the police have a completely different attitude towards cannabis use. They're not really after the small time user. Or consumer, sorry, I should say. We have to stop using words like that as well. Like user. Or, you know, when you're just consuming a plant, like, you know. But anyway, there was roughly 200 people at this. I'm not sure, but that's what the cops said, that arrived with guns. You know, fucking total overkill. The place, you know, it was a peaceful gathering, where, you know, there was people who were socially distanced. There was a bit of music going on. Just one small speaker, couple of acoustic acts. You know, a proper chill out day. It fucking looked like, you know, it was just a nice way to fucking protest. You know, it wasn't as if they were fucking taking up the streets, you know, they were just protesting by showing civil disobedience, you know. And they showed up and fucking with guns, like, you know, a fucking paddy wagon and two undercovers and fucking I don't know how many uniform guards as well. You know, total overkill. Like, it's up on Martin's World there. If you're not already following him, please, please, please follow this guy, because he has balls of fucking steel, and he doesn't even realise it, but he's one of the major players in the for legislation and regulation in the whole country. So he is. So, like, when the cops arrived at the event with guns, you know, if I was there personally, fucking, I'd be liable to fucking have a seizure, like, you know. I'm fucking scared shitless of guns, like, you know. I had an incident, a traumatic event with guns, where I was going to band practice one evening, and as I was walking in to the studio, we had to go through a garage to get into a studio, and as I was in the garage, I heard a bang going off, and I thought it was a firework, and I looked around and I seen the drummer's brother cocking the shotgun again and pointing at me and pulling the trigger. Now, it was blanks, but fuck me, did it fucking scare me shitless. So I could have been getting a total fucking panic attack, and you know, I was nervous enough about speaking, and you know, fucking any time I've spoken in the past, in, well, we'd say, well, except for the last time I spoke at the 420 event on the Keys there last year, 2019. Yeah. Except for that time, yeah. After all those speeches, I would have had a seizure the following day, like, you know. So it's always on my mind, you know, like, that I could have had a seizure that day. So, like, it was for the best, really, that fucking shit fucked up that morning and I ended up missing the fucking train. So, look, it didn't stop this Martin Condon guy, you know. He set up a protest then for last Saturday, okay? Wait till I tell you this one, boys and girls. Fucking, he protested up through the streets, and he got a packet of hemp seeds, and a few of the protesters popped them into some soil, so they were effectively illegally cultivating cannabis, because no matter if it's hemp or it's THC cannabis or whatever it is, it's all considered cultivation of cannabis, you know, and is illegal. So they presented this to Bridewell Garda Station in Cork, and at all times this Martin fella, he's got his head really screwed on, because you know, it takes a lot for a man to be as you know, have so much strength in his words, you know, and speak so well, and communicate so assertively yet gently. And you know, he just says to the cops, he says, you know, we're here peaceful protest today, and we're just coming up to show you what a waste of resources, and we want to, you know, we don't want you to be wasting your time. We want to have a good relationship with you. We want you out catching other criminals, you know, and we just want to highlight how much of a waste of time this is, it really is, like, you know. And, you know, and they just took his name and his details, and I'd say he's going to get a visit. But here we'll just, you know, here, look, fucking follow him. I'm not going to be, I'm just talking about it because I'm fucking blown away by his, you know, his sheer fucking neck and balls and courage, you know, whatever. He's a fucking lion, you know what I mean? He just, once he focuses on something, he's, you know, he carries it through, you know. So watch, yeah, so if you haven't already followed him, he's on Facebook and Instagram and martinsworld.ie as well, yeah, because he's going to be making waves, so he is. If you want to get involved with this fucking movement of cannabis legislation, or we want to get, you know, cannabis reform, you know, you know, we want new regulations. I think the general consensus is that we want it regulated for over 21's use. You know, that's fair enough. I think that's general consensus around the place. Like, you know, at least that way you're taking it out of the grey area of teenagers' developed minds, you know, how it can affect them. You know, so at least with the 21, you know, we're going to avoid that. As well as that, it'll take it out of the hands of the dealers. You know, dealers don't ask for ID, and often they have other stuff like benzos with them, or even heroin. You know, so like, we gotta fucking take this out of their hands, like, altogether, you know. But you know, not all dealers are bad. You know, I've met 95% of them, or 98% of them, I should say. You know, like, fucking, just as I'd find it hard now to fucking think back now, but in all my time dealing with dealers recently, we'll say over the past few years, like, you know, they've all been fucking top boys, like, you know what I mean? And you know, they're only really fucking doing it to cover their own smoke. You know, it's not for profit or anything like that, like, you know. Yeah, so and I seen they're recently how they're fucking making use of bicycles and these scooter things, these electric scooters, to get around the place, so that fucking they can avoid being chased or whatever, like, you know. But so these guys could put these skills and ideas into fucking the cannabis market, you know, and they know how to deal with the customers, and they know how not to take shite off them as well, you know. So so I reckon that they would be ideal for behind the counter in a regulated, taxable place, where a dispensary where you can go and pick out your own product, and you can be advised on how much THC is in it, and you know, if you're wanted to feel happy or energetic, you know, you'd have a choice, like, you know. It's all down to education and regulation, and then we can fucking work out taxation, and we can reap the benefits of that then, like, you know. It's good to see it being discussed, and I have to commend drugs.ie as well for their work on cannabis recently, talking about edibles. You know, you know, a lot of us here are listening now will have their horror stories with edibles, myself included. Too much THC can fucking put you into a fucking a scary place. It can bring on panic attacks, sweats, dropping blood pressure, dropping sugar levels, even down to seizures. Too much THC can cause seizures. So, like, the edibles that we're often getting are mislabeled or not labeled at all. And they don't come with any instructions. So, like, you know, if you were to go and you bought it from a dispensary, they would have to have a product that was tested. So you would know, like, you know, don't eat more than one of these in 2 hours, you know, because it'll take that long for you to start feeling the effect, you know, because edibles don't, you don't start feeling the effects of them as quickly as smoking or vaping, you know, but the effects are, they last an awful lot longer, so they do. So if you're going to do a high dose, you'd either be knocked out for the day or you'll be in panic stations. So fucking fair dues to them and drugs.ie for highlighting that. I think that we should be engaging in them more. Because, like, at the same time, I had to correct them on something. Like, they were saying that their weed is stronger than hash. No, that's completely untrue. Like, you know, the highest strains of weed, even in California, are around 30%. Anything over that is, you know, fucking, it's, you're talking about leprechauns and fairies there now, you know. I wouldn't believe it. Because of, there's just too much plant matter, you know. There couldn't be that much THC in it. There's not enough space. But in hash, you know, the hash has fucking come on from, back in the 90s, it was soap bar and slate. And then in the late 90s, we were getting bit of, what was it called? Jesus. Was it putty or something like that? I don't know, but blonde pollen. Yeah, pollen. That was it, yeah, pollen. Why the fuck did I not fucking think of that, yeah? And probably the amount of it I smoked, to be honest with you. Yeah, but after that then, there's isolator, you know, and there's waxes and there's dabs. You know, these are all considered concentrates. You know, like, I've seen some hashes there, like, to be close enough to, they'd melt in your hand, like, you know, you'd have to store them in the fridge, you know, to be that fucking high in THC, like, you know. And so I let them know that, and so, yeah, that's fucking all I have to say on that, as fucking Forrest Gump says. Yeah, but if you want to get involved in the next protest, the Ireland's major protest for cannabis reform, it's going taking place on Saturday week, I think, Saturday the 29th of August. It's the protest has been organised by this group in Dublin called the Major Group for Cannabis Reform. It's the same group that they done the major smoke up in the Phoenix Park there in July, which was unbelievable. It was like a day out in Amsterdam in Vondelpark, and except more beautiful because it was in your own home country. And yeah, so like these guys are making moves alongside Martin Condon. So I would suggest, if you're not already following them, get on to I think a lot of their media and content is on Instagram. So search for Ireland's Major Protest for Cannabis Reform, and you'll find them. So anyway, if you are intending on going to the protest, and you should be there at Custom House, it's there along the quays, beside Liberty Hall. You can get the Lewis directly from Houston, and just get off at Amien Street, just before the last stop, and just go around the corner from there, and we'll be there. And bring your signs and whatever, you know, all. We'll be marching up to the city centre, going to Marion Square Park. Look, regarding COVID as well, we don't want to be seen as stoners. We want to be seen as respectful people. So if you can wear a mask, please do wear a mask. If not, like myself that isn't able to, don't worry about it. Don't be a mask hole. Don't give anybody grief up there for not wearing it. People have unseen fucking, you know, people that are not, what am I trying to say here? Look, you wouldn't go around saying that you had a disability if you didn't. You know, I think that it takes a certain type of fucking lowness to do that, like, you know. If you see a person without a mask, don't assume that they're a fucking asshole and they don't care or they're selfish. You know, they have a life too, and they have a right to be outside and on public transport, in shops, and don't let their fear fucking dictate how you lead your life, right? But at the same time, if you can wear a mask, please do. And look, we're going to be practicing social distancing on the day as well, on the protest, and later on in the day in Marion Square Park. And I reckon that it's going to be in Marion Square Park, it's just going to be like the other protest in Phoenix Park. I'd say it's going to be like another day in the Dam, you know, everybody just sitting around in the grass. Bring your blanket and your speakers, bifters as well, of course, and maybe edibles as well, if that's what you're into. And you know, it's going to be a fucking, we're just going to do it as a mass display of civil disobedience, and you know, just show the people that we want this, like, you know. There was a recent poll there in one of the national newspapers last week. I don't fucking, there's that much fucking shit going on that you know, it seems to be something new every day. Going back to there was a poll in the papers there, I think it was up about in the 80s or 90s for legislation, you know, like, so like fucking, it's there's a movement happening, and now is the time for us to come together. And you know, now that we have the social media and we can all talk together, this goes out to the people on Reddit as well. Glad to see you getting involved as well. Your ideas have totally helped, in my opinion. I didn't like to see just the criticism of the movement, but I think that what you came up with in the end was absolutely brilliant. Fair juice to you, and fair juice to everybody involved in this protest on the 29th, it's Saturday, the 29th of August at 2:30 at Custom House. Get there earlier, in fact. Get there for fucking 1:30, 2:00. Meet the guys. You're going to come out of there meeting people, contacts that you'll remember for fucking years. I promise you that much, because they're a sound bunch. I promise you. And as well as that, if there's any TDs or listening, like especially Stephen Donnelly, this is an invite for you to come out and join us, basically. And Frank Feehan, it'd be an ideal time for you to come out and see what you consider a gateway drug, a mass gathering of consumption of a gateway drug, you know, and seeing the effects of that said gateway drug, you know, and see how peaceful and you know, how passionate we are about this plant, you know. All you have to do is look at fucking Martin O'Brien from Foxworthy Farms. I interviewed him on a couple of podcasts ago. Martin's from Cork, and he set up this is for the new listeners now. Martin's from Cork, and he set up he moved to California, and he's set up a dispensary over there, and he's making these videos. You should follow him as well, Foxworthy Farms, and on Facebook and on Instagram as well. You know, he's making these short videos, and you know, he's lighting up the joint like a Foxworthy, you know, and he's fucking making it look fucking so nice and tasty, you know. And but like he said, his last one, he was in his field of cannabis, right? And this is a man who was the same nationality as you and me, and like it was fucking acres and acres of cannabis around him, right? And he was had his decks set up, speakers set up, and he was playing left field on vinyl and just fucking smoking his own weed, you know, his own cannabis, his own strains that were grown on his own farm and produced in his own distribution center, you know. So like this man just fucking took it by the balls, and he's if you want to get into cannabis activism, I reckon that you should go back and listen to the interview with this man, Martin O'Brien, of Foxworthy Farms, if you haven't already heard it, because it will give you the chills and fucking give you the kick up in the arse that I think that we all need to be more like the other Martin, who just coincidentally comes from Cork as well. Martin Condon of Martin's World, you know. Do we need more people like them, or you know, that are willing to get arrested for the cause? And you know, it shouldn't be left up to the fucking sick people to you know, fight for your right to access safe cannabis. Right, so I'm gonna answer a few of your questions now. I put up a thing on Instagram looking for your questions, and I said, ask me anything, and I'll do my best to answer. So here it goes. UglyTruth84 asks, could high-profile advocates from the US help us by publicly supporting the cause? Yeah, I'm sure they could. It's legal in nearly all states over there, isn't it, at the minute? I'm not sure. But here, look, if you want to get onto them yourself, fucking fire away. Fleon Trotsky asks, cannabis in opioid addiction treatment, what is your understanding and or take on this? Right, cannabis and opioid addiction. Right, in my opinion, CBD itself helped me come off benzos and other antidepressants. And I can see how other patients that were using opioids to treat pain that have now started using cannabis, they're reducing opioids, you know. So I think as well, if you were to be talking about opioid abuse as well, such as heroin, I think, yes, it could be very beneficial there as well. High dose CBD and maybe low dose THC. You know, I'm not a doctor, but that's as good of a guess I could take on that. But I think it could be beneficial, because we don't have an opioid system, we don't have a heroin system, but we do have a cannabis system. You know, it's like a central nervous system. It's like, you know, it's called the endocannabinoid system. If for any of you that haven't heard of it already, it's you know, we're meant to have cannabis in our lives, you know, and in some way, shape or form, like, you know, it's in mother's breast milk, you know, there's cannabinoids in that, like, you know. So nature doesn't lie, you know, if there's any law that doesn't lie, it's nature, you know. So personally, in my own experience regarding addiction, yes, it has helped with addiction, because benzos are very addictive. For any of you that don't know about them, and I highly advise staying miles away from them, because they are a short-term solution to a long-term problem in a lot of cases, like, you know, and they can fucking bring on panic attacks as well, like, you know. So please, if you're offered them, because I see people on Snapchat and Instagram, these pages that you can contact for cannabis. Some of them are now offering benzos as well. So, like, that's fucking shitty. For when I say that, like, I don't fucking agree with that at all. And that's why we need proper regulation, like, you know. But definitely, if we had regulation here, and I think that we would have an awful lot less of a heroin problem or an opioid problem in this country. Victor Law asks, times you either nearly got caught or just got away with having cannabis on me. Or on you, so he means me. No, I've I've never had any encounter. Besides, well, I told a little story. One time in Zaragoza. Yeah, but you see, I wouldn't care because I'm doing nothing wrong. So I don't look sus, like, you know, like when I smoke, let's say outside, you know, I'd have respect for the other people around. I wouldn't smoke around children, or I wouldn't smoke beside you or anything like that. If we were out in a public park, I'd go and I'd get my own little space, possibly out of view altogether, and just go and have a smoke there. So, like, I'm a very respectful smoker, like, you know. So no, I've never caused any hassle for the cops either, like, you know. So they don't bother me, except for one night I was coming back from the fucking from the cannabis club in Zaragoza. And no, you're not supposed to take gringo back out of that place, but fucking, I was at it the whole time, so I was, you know. And so I was walking back, stoned as a bat, fucking outside the apartment. Here's these two cops, right? So I says, oh fuck, the bang of weed off me here now is going to something shocking. I'm going to get stopped. So I says, look, fucking, what will I do? Will I walk off and come back a few minutes later? And but I thought, no, fucking, that's going to look too sketch. So I said, fuck it, I'm just going to fucking go in. And if I get caught, I get caught. Fuck it. Like, you know, because at that time when I was over there in fucking Zaragoza, like, I felt I had nothing to lose. Like, you know, I was fucking wired. Like, you know, when I think back of it, like, you know, but anyway, long story short, yeah, fucking these cops were at the door, outside the apartment. You know, it was like an apartment block, you know what I mean? They were outside the doors of the apartment block, so I had to pass by them to get in at the door to get into the building, like, you know. And so I got past them, and I was just putting in the key in the door, and I got a tap on the shoulder. And I looked around, and it was the cop, and he just tried saying something to me, and I just, you know, I couldn't speak Spanish, so fucking I was like saying no hablo or whatever, like, and he was just holding up a peg, and I didn't cop it, you know, for a few minutes until he started laughing, like, you know. And but you'd taken the peg off the back of me fucking hoodie or whatever I was wearing that night, like, you know. So it wasn't, you know, it was a pure Stony Maloney moment, but thankfully he didn't, maybe he did cop, but he just wasn't fucking bothered because I wasn't harming anybody, you know. I think that's, you know, most people are like that, like, you know, as long as you don't fucking, you know, you be respectful to them, you know, and respect their boundaries at the same time, like, as well. Mickey Heavener asks, do you ever take a tolerance break? That's a good question. I've heard of people doing it. I've never been, back when I started, I was never addicted to cannabis, you know. And I, the only reason I'm saying that I'm not speaking of now is because I don't get a chance to take a tolerance break now, because I'm taking it every day, you know, medicinally. But back when I was just using it recreationally or procreationally, I wasn't addicted, and I wasn't an everyday user, like, you know. I found that I could use it when I wanted, and still get enjoyment out of it, like, you know. But since I've been on the aisles, I've always had cannabis in my system, like, you know, and that's been a couple of years, like. And But like, this recent drought as well has taught me that I'm not addicted, because there's been maybe weeks that have gone by where I haven't had consumed cannabis in any other way than medicine form, like, you know, in oils or in edibles. And I didn't get any withdrawals. You know, I've heard of people getting disturbed sleep and getting the sweats and all this kind of crack, but like, it was nothing for that, like that for me at all. It didn't bother me at all. Now, that could be the CBD as well, like, you know, because I take a 50-50 blend of, no, I don't feel the need to take a tolerance break. Because I don't see the benefits if you're not, you know, because you can either be a cannabis consumer or you can be a cannabis abuser. And I think, you know, if that word cannabis abuser resonates with you, you want to take a look at how you're using cannabis. And because it's very easily abused as well, like, you know, and that's when you would be wanting to be considering tolerance breaks, in my opinion. What's the benefit of them? Is it that you can get to feel more higher the next time? If you're doing that, I think you need to take a look at your overall usage. You know, that sounds like it's not just cannabis consumption that's happening there. It's a bit of a cannabis abuse. People that take these tolerance breaks, like, you know, are essentially abusing cannabis, like, you know, using it when it's not needed to be used. Tweakalicious asks, I want to say a big shout out to Tweakalicious. I follow your stories every day, and your fucking head case. I find you so fucking funny. Keep being new. Tweakalicious asks a very good question. He said, "What are some negative effects you found using marijuana?" I have had very little negative effects because I don't see myself as doing anything wrong, and I'm a conscious consumer in that I will, I'm not out to get stoned. I much, much, much prefer the taste. Because you can always smoke more, like, you know what I mean? You can always get stoned to a certain extent, you know? But the taste is what comes first for me. So the only negative effects really for anybody is all down to prohibition, like, you know, and lack of education. And the only negative effect, because I've had so many, I could go on all evening here, Tweakalicious, about fucking the positive effects, like, you know, like, here, look, too long, didn't fucking read. I was growing fucking hair back when I was in chemo, right? So, like, when normally people lose their hair, I was fucking growing hair. I was growing back here where I had lost during radiotherapy. I was growing it back there, and I was growing back in the original colour, going back black. Look, but you asked, you know, personally, you know, have I had any negative effects? Yeah, I have. I made a fucking huge mistake of one night coming back from the pub, and having a spliff after a half a pint, and straight to White Town, and sick everywhere. Not a nice experience at all, as you probably fucking know yourself. And for anybody that isn't aware of this, cannabis and alcohol do not mix at all. Maybe if you're going to do it after you've had a smoke. You know, have your drinks after you've had a smoke, not the other way around. Don't smoke after you've had a drink, because you'll fucking end up in a heap. It's a rookie mistake. Like, fucking, we've all been there, trust me. Fitzy asks, this is Fitzy now, who I was chatting about, that I was running all the fucking fundraisers for me when I was over in Spain as a medical refugee. He says, when is the last time you took a big bag of yin yangs? Smiley face. Fitzy, to be honest with you, no, I said it, you can ask me anything. The last time I took a big bag of yin yangs was at Southwest 4 in London in, I think it was 2010 or 2011. Eric Prydz was playing, Deadmau5, Pete Tong, fucking Laurent Garnier, Jesus, fucking shitloads. But they were duds. They were fucking duds. The only fucking lad that managed to fucking get at and decent there was at the end of the fucking festival. And because these lads were going around fucking selling fucking duds, like. And people were lapping them up. And these boys were going around, you know, not having a fear at all of repercussion, like, you know, because they weren't doing that, and really, like, if they were caught with them, when they were tested, it was zero fucking illegal substance in these fucking pills that they were selling. So after that, when I got caught, I just realised then, fucking, God only knows what I was taking there, like, you know, fucking, could have been a fucking worm tablet or fucking anything, like, you know. So I haven't touched them since, and that's the God's honest truth. Not that I wouldn't be dreaming of fucking doing them. Because, you know, they're fucking nice. That's the truth. That's not to fucking say go do them or anything like that, because one of the things to fucking turn me off them as well as that is the fucking come down. And, you know, you feel like shit for days afterwards. Like, you know, it's not fucking worth it. Like, you know, maybe when it gets cleaner, if it gets regulated, MDMA itself, because it's relatively harmless, in comparison with other drugs, like alcohol and cigarettes. You know, if it's manufactured and produced properly. So maybe if a time comes then, maybe I'll try it again. But for the time being, no. You can keep that, and you can keep the coke as well. It's gone to, it's fucking dirt. Fucking mixed with God only knows what, and a couple of times as well. So fucking stay away from that. You know, fucking, if you're feeling like doing a big bag of yin yangs, man, I hear, look, I'm not going to stop you. But I'd advise against it. So I would. Last question is from Marco Hughes. He says, what's my opinion on underage cannabis consumption? I think that the appeal of cannabis to the younger generation is that it's illegal, is for one thing, and it's been glamorized by their idols in pop music and in trap and in rap music, in mumble rap, and you know, every fucking thing, you know, it's been publicized in, you know. And I seen it though in the likings of Holland, where it's, you know, it's all the older people that smoke, you know, and younger people just find it fucking something unfashionable, you know what I mean? It's something that the old folks do, something that old hippies do, like, you know. And that won't happen here for a few years, like, you know, even with regulation, like, you know. But at the same time, it needs to happen because, you know, there's studies out there that say that it does affect the growth of the teenage brain, you know. I'm not sure how scientific or facts that is, or you know, because psychology is one of the weaker sciences, you know. It's all really kind of meta. So, but at the same time, I'm a parent, and I would not like to see my son have access to cannabis in any way, shape or form until he's old enough to make a responsible decision about it. And I think the age for that is around 21. You know, if you're 18, you know, I still don't think you're 18-year-olds these days, I don't even think they're old enough to vote, and let's be honest with you. You know, I don't think their brains have developed, or they're just something that they don't have the life experience anymore. You know, we're a nation of, you know, we tend to spoil our kids more and more with each and every generation, like, you know. So, but we tend to learn more and more from each and other every generation as well, like, you know. The whole idea of they used to give women fags to smoke when they're pregnant, like, you know. So, and give Guinness to a baby, like, you know, in a bottle to knock them out, you know. Fuck me, man. It's fucking priceless. So if you want to check up them, I won't bore you with the details, but like, if you want to check up some of the shit that fucking they used to give out back in the day, I'm telling you, you'd be very, very surprised. Yeah, so fucking, I don't agree with it. To cut a long story short, I don't agree with teenage or underage cannabis consumption at all. Yeah, for the same reasons as a parent, you know. They're not old enough to make an informed choice, and I don't think they're old enough to be experiencing psychedelic drugs. Yeah, I think that's my take on that there. Yeah. Look, if you're after keeping up with me for this long. Thanks very much. I didn't get a fucking chance to speak all week because it was up to my eyes, and to be honest with you, I have to be in form for this, and I have to have something to say, because only fools fucking talk to say something, you know. And fucking when I do one of these podcasts, I want to have something to say. So thanks very much for tuning in. If you're a first time listener, you're more than welcome to go back to all the previous episodes and catch up with my story. Going back from my diagnosis, right through my treatment, how I got my license, etc. And I'll chat to you soon. So God bless and namaste. Thank you.